Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you honor and give you praise. We give you adoration. We say, hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the power and the glory for all that is in the heaven and in the earth and anywhere else is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord. Ah, and you reign over all. And in thy hand is power to keep it together, to hold us together. Hallelujah. In thy power, O Lord, in thy hand is that power to keep us secure in you. Now, therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Good morning. And everybody, good to have you here. Today, we want to talk a little bit about Jesus. Talk a little bit more about him. Built on the rock. A sure foundation. That's right. That's what we want to talk about today. So God bless you. Thank you again for being here. What a blessed time to be living in the world. There's a lot of precarious things happening in the world. Shaky minds in the world at this time. But for us, we are on a sure foundation. I'm going to start here in Isaiah chapter 28. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Ha! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when the Lord says that, you know, he puts a signature, when he says something and puts a signature out there, by his own name, that word cannot be removed, nor will it fall to the ground. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on him shall not make haste. You believe this word today, you will not make haste. You will not have confusion. You're going to be steady and steadfast. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. He'd be put through the fire. He was put through the ringer, you know. But he come out of that grave, boy. You know, there was nothing the devil didn't throw at him. He come out and he said, behold, I am alive forevermore. And because I live, you shall live. And together with my dead body, he said, I shall arise and so will you. Glory to God. You know, you can't put him in that grave and hold him there. Thou shalt not leave thy Holy One in the grave. Nor suffer him to, so, you know, allow him to suffer corruption. Praise the Lord. Now, the same power that helped Christ held him up, brought him out of the grave. He said, look, that same power, he will keep us. The power, you know, of resurrection. And Jesus, we want to talk about him as the pillar that holds us together. We want to talk about him as that rock and that chief cornerstone and that sure foundation. You know, and look at the way the scripture says, you know, not only is he a stone, but it's a tried stone. And not, you know, but it's a chief cornerstone as well. And it's a sure foundation. I'll talk about it a little bit more. In the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 2, in a time like this, the world, the people are full of shaky minds. But this is the time for us to have that solid foundation. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, Paul is talking about, you know, how we can be built on that solid foundation. There are many parts of that foundation, but Christ is the chief cornerstone. You know, the apostles, the prophets, they played their role, but Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord. He said, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, the one that holds everything together. You know, you take away the cornerstone, the whole building, the foundation will crumble, the whole building will fall. In whom, that's Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So in this lesson, we'll be looking at a number of things. We'll be looking at that sure foundation. We'll be looking at the rock, which is the cornerstone. But we'll also be looking at the building, you know, because we're talking about built on the rock. Hallelujah. So let's look at a number of things that the scripture tells us before we get into, you know, dissecting the pieces of this lesson. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. Now, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon, you know, this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work to see of what sort it is. Now, if any man's work abide which he hath built upon that foundation, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burnt, well, he shall suffer loss, although he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, so Paul is talking about some things here. He called himself a wise master builder. He said, look, I've laid that foundation, you know, but that foundation, you know, is Christ, he said. In another place, he said, well, you know, all the apostles, they work together, but Christ is that chief cornerstone that holds everything together. But here again, he's talking about building. You got to build something on that foundation. I mean, nobody lays a foundation and then says the work is done. You know, the foundation is the foundation, but you got to put a building on top of it. You know, so really it's the building that people see after the foundation is laid. It's laid in the ground, sometimes deep in the ground, several feet sometimes into the ground, the foundation. But what you see is not the foundation. What you end up seeing is the building that's built on top of it. You know, so, but if that foundation doesn't hold up or doesn't stand fast, well, that building may not stand. You know, we stand some things. You know, so we want to see and talk about that. You know, there are many things that may cause a building to collapse. You know, there may be first cracks that we begin to see, and then, you know, it's just not holding just right. There's some pillars that might hold the building together. Some buildings have what they call load-bearing columns. And if they're not set just right, yeah, you begin to see cracks in the building. And if the foundation itself is not set right, it may not be able to hold up. And so there's a lot of storms that may come against that building. Well, is it going to stand or not? Jesus himself talked about it in Matthew chapter 7. We see in verses 24 to 27. For three chapters, Jesus had been talking about a lot of things, which we now call the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about a lot of things. And he was about to close it out. And here's how he closed it out. He said in Matthew 7 and verse 24, he said, look, here's why I'm going to wrap up all these sayings of mine. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Well, that's one part of it. And doeth them. That's the second part. You know, just hearing alone is not enough. It's actually to do those things that he said. Well, he said, here's how I will liken him unto. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. Now, everyone, on the other hand, that heareth these sayings of mine, they both heard. One person heard, the other person heard. One person do the thing, the other person doesn't do it, you know. So the one that does it is likened unto this house on the rock. The other one, he said, well, the one that heard it and didn't do what I said shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, the same thing. The two houses, you know, were subject to the same conditions, same harsh conditions. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. Both of them, you know, the one stood, but this other one, it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, so Jesus is laying it out here, you know, and we need to check ourselves. Scripture says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Well, check out yourself. On what are you building your house? Are you building your house on a solid foundation? We're going to talk about that foundation in a bit. Are you building it on a rock? Or are you building it on sand? Now, sand, according to Jesus here, will not hold up. You know, but a rock, you know, will definitely hold up, stand the test. And so, the lesson that Jesus is trying to call out here is that these sayings of mine, Jesus said, all these things that I'm saying, these are the things that are going to keep you together, help you hold it together if you do these things that I say. And what are the things that he said? Well, let's talk about it. In Matthew chapter 5 is where he started to talk about these sayings of mine, as he's talking about. Matthew chapter 5, a number of things that he said. You know, this is the one that people call the Beatitudes. You might remember that. You know, he talked about blessed are the poor in spirit and so on. You know, there are rewards for each of the attributes that he calls out. You know, he also calls out a reward. He talked about those who are meek, they shall inherit the earth. Those who mourn shall be comforted. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You know, those who are merciful, they themselves will obtain mercy. He talked about the pure in heart, that they shall see God. He talked about peacemakers, shall be called children of God. And he talked about, you know, your posture when you are going through persecutions, you know, and so forth, you know. And, you know, that you should rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. He called out the children of God as salt of the earth, you know. And, you know, said, look, we are the salt of the earth. So make sure that you remain salted. Because if you lose that saltness, then there is nothing good for that. It's said to be cast out, trodden underfoot. Talked about us being the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And he talked about don't hide your light. But when you, turn on that light and put it up where everybody can see it, you know. And then he talked about the word of God, all of the law and the prophets and so on. You know, that you can't discard any of it, you know. Then he talks about even people that claim to teach the word of God, but they themselves don't do it. You know, they will be called least in the kingdom. But if they teach and do it, they shall be called great in the kingdom of God. He talked about making sure that our righteousness is really after the righteousness of God and not like the righteousness of the Pharisees, because that's not going to get anywhere. You know, he talked about a lot of things. And then he began to raise the standard. He would say that, look, you have heard of them said in the old time that thou shalt not kill, and so on and so forth. Then he raised the standard, you know, and then he talked about, look, you have heard of them say of the old time that you shall not commit adultery. And he raised the standard, you know, and then he said, well, you know, just even looking and dwelling on that in your mind, you know, he's guilty already. You talked about, you know, even swearing and different things, you know, he talked about loving your enemies and hitting your enemies is the way they were did it in the old days. You know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and so forth. But he said, look, you know, I tell you, you know, if someone would smite you on one cheek, turn the other, that's a hard saying, you know. But he talked about it. And, you know, he talked about, look, don't just love those that love you, you know, but love even your enemies. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you, he talked about. Said if your Heavenly Father himself, he sends rain upon everybody, his son and so forth. He doesn't divide. You know, say, well, when the sun is shining, shine only on these people. No, it shines on everybody, you know, and so forth. And he asked us, he commanded us to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. That's chapter 5. In chapter 6, he begins to call out the, the hypocritical attitudes, you know, and so forth of people. When they give, they blow a trumpet in front of them, you know, so that everybody will know what they do. He said, that's not the way you do it. When you do it, don't let your even right hand know what your left hand is doing. And your Father that seeth in secret reward you openly. He talked about the right way to pray. He said some people, when they pray, they like to stand up in the synagogues and in the streets and make long prayers so that men will know that they are long-winded, they're prayer warriors, they can know how to pray and so forth. He said, well, they have their reward, you know, because their reward is of men. And we're beginning to see when Jesus would say things like, well, you have your reward. Well, you have your reward means that, you know, it would seem to indicate that Jesus is saying you can't get the reward both ways. You can either get the reward from men or you get the reward from your Father in heaven. Now, if you seek the reward of men, Jesus himself said, look, my honor is not from men. I do not seek that honor that is from men. If you seek the honor from men, if you seek the reward from men, Jesus said, well, you have your reward. And cool, you know, but you can't get it again from God after that. But if you seek the true honor and reward from God, then God, your Father, is going to reward you. When you pray, don't be as hypocrites. And don't make long, you know, repetitious, vain prayers as if, you know, you'll be heard for your long and much speaking. Give them a template of how to pray. You know, it talked about when we fast, not to wear a long face and so forth. Make everybody know that you are fasting, you know, and all that. I said, when you do that, then when you've already telegraphed the fact that you are fasting to everybody, then you already have your reward. And then that's it. That fast not going to give you any more reward because you got a reward from men. You know, I mean, on and on, I talk about where we should lay our treasures, where we should put, you know, the things, you know, that, I mean, the articles of great price in our mind, you know, where should we, what are those things that are of great price to us? Where should you, you know, what are those things? You know, where should you put your heart? You know, it talked about, you know, where your heart is. I mean, where your treasure is, rather, there your heart will be. You know, the things you treasure, that's usually the ones that people think about all the time. I mean, nobody thinks about anything they don't treasure. Praise the Lord. I mean, God forbid if you heard, you know, that something happened to your house when you were not there, you know, and you're trying to go rescue some things out of there. You're not going to look for the junky stuff in your house. You're not going to care about that. You're going to go for the treasure that's in your house. That's the one you're going to try to get out of there, because that's the one that, you know, you think about. That's where, you know, your treasure is. That your heart will be on there. You talk about keeping our eyes single. The light of the body is the eye, he said. If therefore your eye is good, I mean, full of light, then the whole body will be full of light. But if it is darkness, then the whole body will be dark. How great would that darkness be then, he talked about. You know, he went on to say, we can't serve two masters. Either hate the one or love the other. Then he talked about, you know, us, you know, not constantly consumed with, Father, give me this, you know, they do that, you're pursuing this, you're pursuing that, you know, and so forth. He said, look, take no thought even for these things. Your Father already knows that you have these things. You know, the Lord, you know, talked about the lilies of the field, you know, the sparrows in the air and all of this in the grass in the field. He said, take no thought for these things. You know, the Lord knows you have need of these things. You know, these are the things the Gentiles are always seeking after, he said. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things be added unto you. You know, don't talk about, look, being so consumed with what shall be tomorrow, what shall be today, what shall be this and that. So you can't do change any of that. Just trust the Lord for it. Hallelujah. Now, you know, then he talked about not judging so that we ourselves may not be judged. You know, he said, look, many people are hypocritical. They always see only the faults in their brother's eye. They don't see their own faults. Even though they have a bigger fault in their life. He said, you have this big log in your eye, but you won't see that. But somehow you manage to see through all of that and see the tiny mote in your brother's eye. So, well, why don't you remove the log that's in your eye first? Then you have an opportunity to see even clearer, to help your brother, you know, and so on. He warned us about, you know, our precious things. Don't give those things to dogs, you know. Don't set your precious things for dogs. Who are dogs? Well, dogs are outside the holy city. They're dogs that will trample you under. You know, it's not everything that you cherish, that you lay out against, you know, scoffers, you know, in front of scoffers, because they'll trample them down. They will make rubbish of the things that you hold most dear. So beware. He talked about these things. He called out, you know, the difference between following the world and things that are popular. He called it the wide gate and so broad way. And then he also calls about the straight and narrow way, which very few people find. Well, there are some people rushing into things that are popular that lead to destruction, he said. He said, but you do your due diligence to find the narrow way that leads to life. He called out false prophets, you know, that come to you in sheep's clothing. But inside, he called them ravening wolves, you know, and so on and so forth. And he said, look, how do you know who people are really on the inside? You can't tell, but by their fruits, that's how you can tell what's inside of them. You know, then he gave us a stern warning that, look, it's not everybody that just calls me Lord, but don't do what I say that we enter into kingdom. Say, Lord, 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 this and that. But you don't do what I say. One time he said, look, why do you call me master? If you call me master, then do what I say. You know, he said, look, on that day, many will come to me and say, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know, have we not cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? But he said, well, you know, I'll profess to them, I never knew you. My goodness, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Now, after all of that was when he said these sayings of mine. So you can see, went through a quick summary of all the things that he has talked about. And then he said, look, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And that rock will stand up against anything. It's like an anchor. You know, Hebrews chapter 6 talks about an anchor that holds, you know, in rough times and different times. That anchor goes beyond the veil and holds true in times like this. You need an anchor. There's a song like that. In times like this, you need an anchor. Praise the Lord. What kind of anchor do you have? You have an anchor that is able to hold. Okay. He said, look, we have a hope, you know, because we saw what God did for in the time of Abraham, how he made promise, swore by it, and he kept it. And he said, for us also, we are laying hold on the hope that is set before us. And verse 19 of Hebrews 6 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. That's right. This anchor, first, in order for you to get there, you must be built on a solid foundation. You know, and it's amazing what a foundation can do. You know, if you start out on faulty premises, on, you know, I mean, just start out on delusion or false doctrine and so on and so forth. Well, you know, what kind of foundation will that lead to? And if our own works are not solid, like gold, silver, and precious stones, if our works turn out to be like wood, hay, and stubble, when they are put through the fire, well, that those other three will be burnt. But these other three, when they are put through the fire, they actually come out stronger. Praise the Lord. Now, for those who have learned the secret of dependency on the Lord and prayer and waiting on the Lord and having that fellowship, reading the Word of God, these are the things that strengthen our anchor. You know, they will, in times of anxiety and in times of problems and so forth, they will not be running helter-skelter like a chicken that the head is cut off. They will be kept in perfect peace. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, I'll say, the Lord will keep in perfect peace whose house is built on a solid rock. Hallelujah. Because, you know, the rock will shake. I mean, the house may be blown against, but it won't, you know, it won't shake that rock, that foundation. It will stand steadfast. Praise the Lord. No matter what confronts you, you will still be victorious because of the sure foundation. Let's see how the Apostle Paul, he puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, verse 8. These are the things that, you know, he went through. But let's look at his response. This kind of response is because of, you know, the posture that has been developed. I mean, this man has developed this kind of posture. He said, look, solid foundation. So we may be troubled on every side, you know, troubled on every side. Now, how many of you can say in this room today that you have not been troubled? Sometimes it just seems like it's actually every side. You're dealing with one thing, you haven't finished dealing with that, and then another one comes. You know, and it just like on and on and on like that. Well, we are troubled on every side, he said, yet we are not distressed. Hallelujah. Because look, he's got an anchor. He's got a foundation. You know, perplexed, you know, at times, you know, you don't know what to do and so forth, it seems like. But we never give up. We're never in despair. We never give up and so on. We might be persecuted. We're not forsaken. We know the Lord is with us. Sometimes we're thrown down, but we're not destroyed. You know, we don't stay down for the count. You know, cast down, beat up, and so forth. You may get a blue eye sometimes. You know, for those whose skins are fair. You know, otherwise, you know, you may get a black eye. But, you know, the devil sheep shot you. But what are you going to do? You know, how can you get up from that sheep shot if you don't have a solid foundation? Solid foundation can also be in the prayer time, time that we spend in prayer, you know, and dependence on the Lord, confidence in him. You know, if we spend a lot of time in the morning praying and so forth like that, you know, then we're less likely to be frantic when something, you know, happens during the day. You know, I mean, if you spend a lot of time, if you were going on a trip, for instance, you spend time praying, you know, over every danger that may arise in that trip. Let's say it was an air trip and you know, and then all of a sudden you get into this turbulence and you get into these air pockets and different things, you know, that happen in the air and everybody's panicking. Well, you're less likely to panic, you know, crazily like others if you spent a lot of time praying. You'll be able to say, well, I know, Lord, that you have prayed through this. And you will see me through it. Now, if you never prayed, and it was the first time you're trying to pray in the middle of, you know, panic, when the panic already, when the disaster is already happening, and you're already right there in the eye of the storm, that's harder. It's going to be harder to get through that. So we need to be prayed up. You know, now I'm going to the areas of how do we build up this solid foundation. You know, we need to be prayed up. You got to be prayed up. Jesus told them, pray that you enter not into temptation. But they didn't pray. They went and slept. He came again and told them, and they slept some more. And he told them again, they slept some more. Well, every one of them, you know, fell away when the temptation came. And they took an opportunity, when they faced the opportunity to either stand up for Christ or be crucified along with him, Well, they fell aside, they fell back, you know, because they didn't spend the time in prayer like Jesus was saying. We saw that Jesus would get up early in the morning and going, you know, into the mountains for prayer and so forth. And he did all of that to strengthen himself. We must pray. Another thing is the word of God. Read and study this word, you know, as if your life depended upon it, because your life does depend upon it, because it is our life. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. This word is our life. You can't do anything without it. He's like, you know, one commercial says, don't leave home without it. Well, don't leave life without this word of God as a basis in our lives. You know, what does that mean? What does the word of God really mean to us? Is it just regurgitated word that you hear from someone only? Or do you spend time to hear it directly from the source yourself? You know, I mean, God sends us teachers. And they are good if they, I mean, they are diligent and they do it according to the word of the Lord and teach not themselves, but teach the word of God and Christ. For they edify the body of Christ and the glory of God. If they do it right, they're good. But you can't depend only on that. You got to do your own. You know, what if the teacher is not around? You know, there's some people that have been known to, you know, every little thing, they go to their pastor for prayer. Well, that's good. I mean, that's part of the reason the pastor is there. But what about you? You know, can you pray about those things? Or must you panic when things happen? Can you handle the situation? Can you handle the storm? I mean, we see this story in Mark 4 that we've told multiple times. The aspect I want to call out of that today was that the disciples could not handle the storm. They panicked in the midst of the storm, whereas Jesus expected them to handle the storm. You know, so, you know, and I've often said that, look, it's not every storm that God wants to rebuke. You know, he wants you sometimes go through the storm, because you will go through. Just like he said, let's pass over to the other side. So they will pass over to the other side. What happens in between from the time that he said it to the time you get to the other side? Well, we don't know, because he didn't say, but he did say, let's pass over to the other side. You know, so the storms may come along the way, but how do you handle? What's your reaction going to be? Are you going to run to the Lord crazy and everything, you know, just because you're facing some things and say, well, Master, don't you care that we perish? Master, Master, storm's about to destroy us all and you are sleeping? How can you sleep in a time like this? And Jesus got up and said, what's happening? He said, well, and what's happening? You know, see all the water rolling into the boat. We're about to be drowned. And Jesus said, my goodness. He said, why is it that you are so fearful? How come is it that you have no faith? So he was actually disappointed. You know, he expected that they could handle that situation. Handle the situation. Ride out the storm. Glory to God. It's not every storm you have to rebuke. It's not every storm that we have to remove, but it depends on the kind of anchor that we have, you know, the kind of foundation that we have built for ourselves. You know, if you have built spiritual resilience, then you can handle. If not, well, then you'll be shaken as a wind, you know, as tossed, you know, to and fro and so forth. You'll be shaken as a reed, you know, in the wind. So we need to build that resilience. And sometimes the Lord allows these little things for us to practice that resilience for bigger things. Jeremiah 12 and 5 says, look, if you run against footmen and you are weary, how can you contend against horses? And the way I break that down is, look, when these little things happen to us and, you know, we lose our hair, you know, whatever, you lose your cool, as people say, and everything, you know, then what's going to happen if something really more severe happens, you know? So if you cannot run with footmen, both of you are on foot, and you can't win that race, well, how are you going to win when you're running against horses? You can't do it. So that scripture in Jeremiah 12:5 is telling you that, look, win every race, the little ones, climb every mountain, you know, get the victory over every little thing. And the way you do it is based on your foundation that we have. Paul said, look, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, this is a testimony that he gave. And this ought to be our own testimony as well. Now, thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Make us manifest the savor of his knowledge in us by every place. You know, can you say that? You know, I mean, no matter what storm you're going through, well, that depends on the foundation that you have. You know, so this message is about us having that foundation. Praise the Lord. That foundation. There are many other things that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8. Say nothing can shake you, you know, out of your position or separate you from the love of God when you are anchored on the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, but if you're not, well, there's a lot of things that will shake you. Even things that shouldn't shake you will shake you. You know, that's what the scripture is saying. Romans chapter 8. You know, let's read some of these. You know, these are popular verses, but read them again today for yourself and see, you know, what he's talking about. Who shall separate us from the love of God or Christ? Say what? Too. Who or what? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or the peril or the sword? Well, some of these things, you know, do actually indeed separate people. People go into depression when they are, you know, these kind of things are happening. Well, that's because, you know, you haven't, you know, allowed that process to have its perfect work in you. Christ was a tried stone. You know, he was tried, and we ourselves must be tried. You know, we got to be tried to come out, you know, tried in the fire, but yeah, we come out because, you know, the material you are made of is gold, is silver, is precious. Don't be made of wood, hay, and stubble. And those things will burn and they won't stand the fire. He said, look, all these things that may happen, things may happen to you all day long. You may even feel like you are a sheep for the cluster, you know, for the slaughter. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what all hell's breaking loose around you. He said, look, if in the land of peace, you know, wherein thou trusted, Jeremiah 12:5, you can't even hold it together, you know, when it's just little things, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? You know, when Jordan overflows its banks, because at different times of the year, Jordan will overflow its banks. So it's like a tsunami that will come against you is what he's saying. You know, if you can't handle the little things, how are you going to handle the tsunamis? So we got to build our anchor. Will your anchor hold in these times? Hallelujah. You know, when you are setting sail, and all of us have set sail already, but will your anchor hold? And how is it going to hold? Well, hold based on prayer. That's how you build up your most holy faith. It's through prayer. You build up your most holy faith through the word of God and spending time in his presence. Hallelujah. Listen to verse Psalm 92 and verse 13. He said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. So there's a planting. You know, if you're planted, you will also flourish. Glory to God. If you are planted in the word of God, if you are planted in his presence, if you are planted in prayer, then you will also flourish. Hallelujah. But if you're not, then you're going to panic. Praise God. And you know, God doesn't always jump every time we run into some problem. He might if you are still a baby. The same thing with us parents. If you have a new baby, I mean, you may be in one room and they may be in another room. If you hear them cry, you're going to drop everything that you're doing and run to that place because they are a baby. They can't handle anything. So when they cry, you jump. Well, you know, after a while, you know, when they start growing up, you know, sometimes they fall. You say, well, they'll get up. they cry a little bit, say, nah, they'll get over it. They'll get up. I mean, now you're not jumping quite as much when they cry because you expect them to handle, expect them to get up from that fall. Glory to God. The same thing with us. You know, I watch my kids, my son, bring them over, my grandkids. And then sometimes they, you know, trip, you know, my granddaughter, you know, always crying about her uncle and so forth. And I say, well, the dad said, nah, she'll get over it. And I'm like, my goodness. Now, when she was a little younger than that, oh my, you know, they run all over the place if she said any little thing. But now, it's, she'll get over it, you know? And that's how, you know, life is. You know, I mean, God's not going to jump every time you cry. And you don't need to cry about everything. You know, Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7 tells us that. You don't have to cry about everything. You know, but just commit your prayers to the Lord with thanksgiving. Start off by saying, Father, I thank you because you heard me already. Glory to God. And just put it out there. And what does the next verse say? This is the difference between the guy that knows he's anchored and is anchored on a sure foundation and the one that's not. Philippians 4:7 gives you the difference. The difference is, well, you know, well, 4, 6, and 7, basically, one of them is anxious, panicking all over the place. You know, the other one is not panicking, just thanking God for it. But more importantly, you know, he has peace through the situation. That peace of God will keep your heart and minds through the storm. You know, he doesn't say that God will remove the storm, but you will have peace. This is the difference if you are built on the anchor, a sure foundation. Whether God removes the storm or not, you will still have peace. I mean, it's wonderful if as soon as we pray, God removes the storm. It's even better if we don't get into any storm to start with. But that's not always the real definition of peace. The real definition of peace is not always the absence of trouble. Well, that's one part of it. But God's real peace is that even in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the storm, you are still calm. You know, you are not freaking out, if I can use that language. You're not freaking out just because of something. The peace of God will keep your heart. You can handle the situation. God wants you to handle that situation. He wanted the disciples to take care of the storm. You know, keep going through the storm. Don't come crying. You know, keep going through the storm. I already told you I am with you and I will get you there. Praise the Lord. You know, and if they remembered the word of the Lord, I said, you know, let's pass over to the other side. They will know they will get to the other side. The storm may come. Doesn't matter, you know, and the storm will definitely come. The story that Jesus told here, I said, the rains came. It's not that if the rain will come. The rain will come. The storm will come and they will beat up against the house. That's a guarantee of life. You know, some people say some things are certain. They call taxes, death, and this and that. Let me tell you some other things that are certain also. The storms of life. These things are certain. You cannot, there is no way that you can escape it. You know, so be sure, you know, strap this in your mind already. See that, look, you will go through these storms, but through is the key word here. You're not going into the storms, but you are going through the storms. Isaiah 43 and 2 say, when you pass through. The when means, well, for sure it's coming, but the through is your passage. Hallelujah. The end result is already marked from the beginning. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, if you walk into the valley of the shadow of death, that's a dead end. But the psalmist said, I walk through. I know I'm coming out on the other side already. You know, you go in with confidence. Look, let the devil throw this chicken, you know, kitchen sink and all at me. Well, I'm passing through. Glory to God. You know, and there are some things also that you can use to deflect some of these things that the devil may throw against you. First, you know, you be in a posture of prayer. First. And in second and so forth, not in any order necessarily, but you study the word, you stay in his presence and so forth. Then you build faith and character. You know, some of these trials help us to build character. You must build faith. Faith is so critical. I've been trying to teach this faith up and down, sideways, every which way on this platform. You got to build that faith. You know, when Paul was writing in Ephesians chapter 6, talking about, you know, putting on the whole armor of God, he put a lot of emphasis on faith. He said, above all, you know, above all these other things, take the shield of faith. Hallelujah. You know, that you must use to quench everything that the enemy will throw against you. Put up, it's like a force field. Glory to God. You got that force field of shield of faith with you. Enemy throws it, it bounces right back. Glory to God. It cannot penetrate because you got that faith. You build that faith through prayer and the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, you build up your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Ghost. That builds it up. You build it by listening to the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Word of God comes by hearing the word. You build your faith. You build your faith. You build your faith. You build posture. And then when situation arises, your anchor will hold. Hallelujah. Will your anchor hold during these times? You know, can you say that when the storms of life come, you keep rolling? roll your boat, you know. Are you still rolling, or, you know, did you get swept off and fall by the wayside? You know, well, we got to keep on rolling. Praise God, you know. So this exhortation today is for us to make sure that we are standing on the solid rock. The rock also is Christ. Now, in many ways, you know, the relationship that Christ wants us to form with him, be formed through reading his word. But also remember that Christ himself went through many things so that he can be a high priest that understands what we're going through. He went through a lot of stuff, you know. But the what kept him going and how he got strength as a man, not as God. As a man, he got strength by praying all the time. You know, praying all the time. Praying all the time. And by also relying on the Father. Said the Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. But he knew where he was going. He knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. In fact, he told the people, look, you may be from beneath, but I am from above. And he told it to them the way it is. Now, can you say that? Can you say, I am from above and I'm not from beneath and I know where I'm going? Hallelujah. Do you know where you're going? I mean, do you understand that these things, these petty things, should not even, you know, hold you back? We got something greater. Your light affliction, the Bible says, should be nothing compared to, you know, the weight of glory that God has planned for us. You know, well, you say light affliction. Well, sometimes it may not be light, but whatever it is, you know, whether it is light or heavy, whatever we are going through is for just a moment. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says our light affliction is for but a moment, you know, but it's also working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But only if you endure. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation and trial. For the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a good and perfect work. So we got to let these things, you know, develop us rather than, you know, diminish us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll be stronger for it too. And the Lord, he already told us, you know, this is one confidence that we have in the Lord. That look, there is nothing beyond our strength that he will allow to come to us. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And if he allows it, then he knows you can handle it. Especially when you trust in him. The Lord might say, why didn't you trust me with that? You know, that's the question that he would ask us if we allow situation, you know, to overwhelm us. You know, what is the situation that you are going through today? Are you built on the rock? Can you handle? Praise God. And I pray, my prayer is for us not to have to deal with things that may completely wear us out and finish us. The Lord will not allow those things to come your way. He already said that. But when you do go through or are going through, my prayer again is that you will, you know, be able to stand. Hallelujah. Stand therefore, having done all. Are you going to be the last man standing? If everything else is falling apart and everybody's falling down around you, will you still be standing? Glory to God. You know, the house that will still be standing when all the other houses are falling is the one that's built on the solid rock. Hallelujah. You know, and the foundation can be deep sometimes, you know. The higher the building that you're going to build, the stronger the foundation beneath it must be. I know that when this our house that we're living in now was being built many years ago, I watched the building. I saw them when they excavated the ground and they were putting in the foundation, because the house would have a basement, you know, a basement and then also two floors above it. They needed to build the foundation really strong. And so they dug many, many feet into the ground and put in steel. I saw them put in the steel and the concrete and steel. There's no wood in this house at all. There's no frame. You know, it's all concrete and even steel. You know, I saw and I said, my goodness, this is good. You know, and they, you know, they built the thing. I mean, they really put in some steel. I saw the rods, the things that they poured in and the concrete and the rods and the steel and everything. You know, and I said, wow, you know, is this how they build every house? I realized that's not how they built every house, but this one, thank God, was built like that. Now, spiritually speaking, is your house built like that? You know, how do we start out our foundation though? Well, the journey starts out with committing our lives to Christ. It's a simple thing, you know, but once you get your life into Christ's hands, you know, remember, no one can pluck them out of my hands. He said that, you know, but whether or not he allows certain things, is that going to be those setbacks? Will those be enough to knock you off that journey? Jesus one time said, will you also go back? And, one man said, well, where shall we go? You're the ones that have words of eternal life. Good job, Peter. That's right. Good answer. That's it. That's a good answer. Where are you going? There's nowhere to go. You know, being there, done that. I can say that now by the grace of God. Look, being there, done that. There's no going back. Praise the Lord, you know. And thank God for the grace. You know, Peter said it. Look, there's nowhere else to go. You know, you're the ones that hold. You're the pillar that holds everything together. You're the one that had the words of eternal life. You're my rock. You're my foundation. David said it too. My rock, my fortress, my high tower, my hiding place, my shield, my buckler, my song, and my salvation. I mean, can you call the Lord all those things? Or will you let, you know, some storm of life knock you off? Well, there are a few people that made some declarations in this Bible that can help us, because they had a solid rock as a foundation. You know, one man said, look, you know, you can cheap shot me. Micah said that. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, he said, look, you can cheap shot me, but I'm not going to let you get the better of me. You know, and he said, look, when I hit that canvas, I'm going to get up no matter what you try to do to me. But sometimes you don't even have to hit the canvas. You can bounce right back. Do you know that? You can bounce right back. You know, but even if you do hit the canvas, are you going to stay down for the count? The only way you can bounce through, bounce back from these things is if you built a solid foundation. You know, he said, look, let not my enemy rejoice against me. When I fall, I shall arise. Even when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Hallelujah. No matter what, you know, I'm going through, he said, look, I will even bear the indignation of the Lord, because, you know, maybe because I sinned against him, but, you know, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, and he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, that's the way that these people bounced back, but they were able to bounce back because they had a sure foundation. If our foundation is built on, you know, shaky stuff, then our life is going to be shaky. You know, in the end of age, as we are in now, men's heart will fail them for fear. Looking after those things that are coming upon the world, they will have shaky mind. But we won't have shaky mind because our minds are stayed on him. And he will keep us in perfect peace, according to Isaiah 26 and 3. Another man gave this declaration. He said, look, although the fig tree shall not blossom, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. I mean, I may lose everything, but he said, look, you know, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Ha! Glory to God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I don't care whether this man sounded like he was bankrupt. Everything was cut off, nothing going on, all his investments, he lost everything and so forth like that. You know, I mean, the enterprises that he was into, they were not producing, but he said, well, whatever. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord nonetheless. Praise God. And God will set me upon my high places still. He caused me to ride upon my high places still. Hallelujah. I mean, these are people that knew their stuff. You know, they're not going to let the storms of life knock them off the track, you know. And another man, he put it this way. He said, look, because I am assured that I am in God's hands, you know, I know is going to help me. Isaiah 50 and 7. We gave this as a memory verse some time back in this room. You know, he will help me. You know, I'm not going to, you know, be dismayed or confused, confounded and thrown off the track. No, I'm going to set my face like a flint. That means I'm going to put on my game face. Bring it on, he said. But, you know, I've got your answer right here. Hallelujah. I'm going to put on my game face because I know that I will not be ashamed and I will not be confounded. Now, bring it on means, look, one thing though, you know, you irritate the territory of the fight. Don't go to fight the devil on his own ground. You know, you fight the devil in your ground. You pick the fight. You know, it's not every fight you need to worry about. But when you take the fight, you pick the fight. You pick the ground. You've got the blood of the Lamb. You've got the word of your testimony. You've got a solid foundation. You've got the angel of the Lord with you. Hallelujah. And you know that the enemy can't touch this. Praise God. As one man sang a song one time and said, you can't touch this. Well, a devil can touch it if you are not built on the solid rock. He came to the Lord and said, look, the reason that this man is solid is because you put a shield around him. Let me touch him. And then you will see that he'll curse you to your face. That was the devil and Job and the Lord. And, but look, when you are built on that solid rock, no matter what the enemy puts up against you, he cannot succeed. But look, there are other ways to actually even prevent snares. Hallelujah. You know, we can prevent these snares by spending time. It's called daily contact. Spending time. This prevents snares. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in the word of the Lord. Spend time and prayer before you step out of the house in the day. You know, these things will prevent snares. It will open your eyes to the pitfalls that are out there. Because a prudent man will foresee the evil. Well, how do you foresee the evil? Through prayer, through studying the word of God and staying in his presence, listening to the Holy Spirit, you will foresee a lot of evils and you'll be able to hide yourself. Now, will we be able to, you know, escape every adversity? Perhaps not, but you will escape most. Praise the Lord. But even when the adversity does come, today's lesson is that will your handle, you know, anchor hold? Are you built upon a solid foundation? Who is your chief cornerstone? Is he the Lord? Is he the pillar that holds you together? Is he that anchor, you know, that, you know, steadfast for your soul? And what is it that we depend on? You know, what is our lifeline, so to speak? Christ is that lifeline. Now, I invite anybody who is in this room today or listening in make Christ your lifeline today. I invite you, you know, take that lifeline. He's thrown it to you. Grab onto it with both hands. Jesus said, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door even. By me, if any man enters in, he'll be saved. And no man can enter in except by me. And if you want that security in the Lord, you put your hands in his hands today. That security doesn't mean that, you know, you'll not be tried. But as a tried stone and as a precious cornerstone, you'll be tried, but you'll come out on top because he's got you. That's right. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are graved in the graving of my hands. He got you. Glory to God. But you must stay on him. Stay on the word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. The foundation of life. This is nothing that you don't already know. But, you know, it just seems like we need to encourage one another when people are going through. Because sometimes people who know these things, when it is their turn to go through. In fact, that's what the friends of Job told him. He said, look, you have been the one that have instructed others. You have been the one that held them up when they were going through stuff. Now you're going through and you're falling apart. You know, so some of us have been instructors, you know, and then when it's our turn to go through, are we going to now fall apart? You know, not fall apart, you know, stay right there. The Lord is with you and it will not look. And again, you know, don't give the devil, Bible say, Ephesians 4:27, don't give place to the devil. You give him 1 inch, you take him out. You know, don't even give the devil the chance to ruin things and then you start praying. Pray before that happens and block him so that he can't even do that. That's a better, defense is a great offense. So you go after the devil, you bind him, you put shackles, spiritual handcuffs upon him, you knock down the satanic altars in your prayer, you build the Holy Ghost firewall around you and your children. You do all of these things in prayer before the devil. Don't let him come in and then you start to, you know, try to put out the fire, you know. Prevent the fire. Daily contact prevents snares. And if you can come in the presence of the Lord every day and trust in the Lord and stay in his presence, and pray and seek his face, you know, and cling to the word of God and do the things that he says and commands, you will have a surer foundation and your anchor will hold. And that chief cornerstone will hold you together. And don't fall apart on the Lord now. Praise God. Don't be a basket case. You know, some people, I heard this phrase. I never knew this phrase until I came to the U.S., but then I heard this case of basket. What in the world is that? Well, don't be that. You know, get it together. For the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And rise up. Shake yourself from that dust. Lose yourself from the bands around you. You say, well, that's not easy. Well, maybe not. But if he couldn't do it, he wouldn't tell you to do it. You know, easy or not, you can do it. You can do this. You can get up when you are falling. Praise God. Say, get up. You know, that's what they say in the corner of the fighter that just got knocked up. Say, get up. Get up. The other corner says, stay down. Stay down for the count. But in your corner, they're saying, get up. The other corner is saying, throw in the towel. The Lord is over here in your corner. The angel of the Lord, you know, the saints are in your corner. And I am in your corner saying, get up. Hallelujah. Don't throw down the towel. Don't give up. Don't let the devil, you know, don't even give the devil the satisfaction that he got you down. Praise God. Hallelujah. I learned that many years ago. I will not give that old devil the satisfaction that he got me down. Praise God. I will arise. If I fall, I will arise again. You know, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. And this young man, he said, look, I've gone astray. And all evil befell me, but now I will arise and go to my father. The prodigal son, he said that. Now, some of us may be prodigal this morning. Maybe you've gone from the Lord. Sammy said in Psalm 119, he said, look, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, maybe it was your whatever may cause you to be afflicted, whatever it is, come to back to the Lord. This one young man came to his senses and went back to the Father, and the Father received him with open arms. I pray that your anchor will hold today, and I'm going to pray over the room right now. Father, for all your children that are here, let our anchor hold in these times. Will your anchor hold? When the storms of life come, when those rains come, when they beat upon the house that you are building, will that house stand? It will stand if it's built on the rock. It will fall if it was built on the sand. You know, let's not build our house on sand, things that will hold no water. Jeremiah 2 and 13 says, "There, you know, my people are guilty of two evils that they are guilty of. You know, they built their house on something that is not solid. They're looking to cisterns that hold no water instead of I, the rock." Well, they turn their eyes to something else. So let's turn back to the Lord today. Two evils that they have done, saith the Lord. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken me, the solid anchor and the solid rock. They have hewed to themselves cisterns and broken cisterns and built their house on sand that cannot hold anything. Now, come unto me, saith the Lord, and come back to me, and I will build you up, even as at the first, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, that those of us that started out strong in the Lord, we will not now weaken into the flesh. Having begun in the spirit, shall we now be made perfect in the flesh? God forbid. We'll be strong in the spirit. Be strong in the Lord. The power of his might based on the anchor that is fast in its place. A sure foundation. A steady cornerstone that the Lord has put in our life. Christ, the word of God, and your prayers and spending time in his presence. These things will hold you up. And fellowship as well, encouraging one another, will hold us up. Thank you, Lord, for holding up your people. And Lord, we are going to ward off all the negative things that the devil may throw at us through prayer. We give you, Lord, the praise. Give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name. The enemy shall not exact upon you, the Bible says. And you shall not be afraid of evil or terror because it will not come near you. Take these scriptures for yourself. And pray always that you escape all this evil and that you will stand in the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.